Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
To go. 6:11. Hi, how are you? Have no place to go. Nice, me too.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm fine, thanks. We had a nice time yesterday out at the Dr. Kevin Most Northwestern no Medicine Golf Outing in Medina.
Beautiful day, beautiful course.
It's weirdly kind of chilly.
Toward the end, yeah.
That's why I was glad I had my grandmother's shawl that she made me, the golf shawl.
Pashmina went nicely with your eyes.
Yeah, it's just hard to wrap those.
Mm-hmm.
Get a full swing.
And...
But they raised a lot of money for the foundation there, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, it was nice to see. We played with baseball analyst Kevin Powell as well.
Yes,
no, he's not baseball. He's sports analyst.
I'm sorry, yes.
He's a full-throated sports analyst.
Yes.
Hey, how about the Nashville Predators?
Yeah, they have battled back
here. They've tied the Stanley Cup final at 2 apiece.
Mm-hmm.
This is how good a guy Doc Emmerich is. Doc Emmerich was on the show yesterday,
yeah.
And the phone line accidentally disconnected. He then spent the next several hours apparently texting Sandberg saying, "You guys sure you're not mad at me?" Yeah. And of course we're not.
He called back to answer the last question off the air, too.
And he was only getting ready to broadcast a Stanley Cup final game on NBC in prime time.
He's just the best.
Yeah.
Mike Duck Emmerich. I'm off the next couple of days. Well, actually, I guess I'm here tomorrow.
Okay.
Well, I'm not coming in tomorrow.
All right,
I'll be here. But I'm out Thursday and Friday. I'm going to do a little road trip to upstate New York and pick up my brother and bring him back, the Cochran you guys really like.
Yeah, they have. Yeah.
And, well, he's one of the Cochrans we really
right.
like.
That's true.
There's also Ross, there's Lord, and there's Abigail
Amy.
Grace.
Yeah,
I like Amy.
Amy, Maureen.
Maureen, sure,
all those, yeah. Then there's me.
Right.
Yeah, somewhere on that list.
Abigail Grace called me yesterday. Do you know that she uses
the really?
Phone? Yeah, she called just to say hi.
To say hello?
Yeah.
Oh, right. She knows how to use the phone. Was she
hello,
speaking
Steve.
Chinese?
She's so nice.
You know,
she
does.
She Googles and she dabbles in Mandarin Chinese. Nice.
I wouldn't put it past her to start. She's going to be at the age now where she's going to start grabbing the phone and either playing with it or my goddaughter knew at 2
she
how to scroll.
she scrolls and she uses the remote quite handily.
Isn't that hilarious?
Yeah.
My daughter called 911 when she was about a year old. She was playing with the phone.
Oh.
And the police showed up at the door.
Then you had to explain it.
Yes.
Sorry.
And everything's fine. Really, it is. Don't go in the house.
Oh.
All right, 6:13. We'll get to the top six at 6 in just a moment here. And on the program today, Kid of the Week. We always do that on Tuesday. Another book recommendation. You know your summer reading list. And later on, we're going to have a bunch of fourth graders in here, people that really understand me.
Right, your people.
Somehow related to, what is this, Justin Kaufman's kids class? Is that the deal?
It is.
Justin Kaufman's son's class will be in.
By the way, I met Justin Kaufman's son at the Bike the Drive. Justin was emceeing some of the events and introducing the band, so his little boy was there. I shouldn't say little, his son was there.
Mm-hmm.
What a great kid.
Well, his little boy's
this kid could be a politician.
Really?
Now. I don't mean in 10 years. This kid's just he's just so charismatic.
Can he get on Justin's show with Justin Bookham?
Probably.
He's going to be on your show.
Yeah, you'll get him first.
Yeah, I'm telling
talk
you.
Talk politics with him,
kid's
Steve.
No fool. He's going prime time.
You know what he was doing, Steve? He was writing some jokes for Justin. Justin's opening monologue.
Oh,
yeah.
That's nice.
He really was. He was telling us a few jokes, and he's a funny kid.
Wait, how old is he?
He's
fourth
9
grade?
Or 10.
Oh.
Fourth grade is 9?
Yeah, wow. I think he's 9 turning 10.
Yeah, me too.
His son, yeah.
At least emotionally. At 6:15.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
You know, now that we're on CLTV at HD every morning at 9, I think I'm going to go to company president Larry Wirt. You know Larry?
I know Larry, yes.
Yeah,
he's
a little shifty
guy.
Little guy.
He's a good guy.
I'm going to go to Larry and ask for a clothes allowance to see if he can buy me more golf shirts.
He probably would. He's pretty generous.
Yeah. No, you don't know Larry.
I know. I'm trying to suck up a little bit.
But
maybe
Steve,
he'll give us a clothing allowance.
You have a lot of golf shirts.
No, shorts.
Oh, shorts.
Yeah, I just noticed. I'm really down to my last 12 pair of dark black. Dark black. Yeah, that's good. Dark blue and black.
Right. I was going to say you have a lot of navy, too.
Yeah, I got black and blue. So I'll let you know how that goes. I know a lot of the TV people in clothes, you know, they'll get nice dresses, nice suits and stuff. I think, you know, I need shorts.
It makes sense.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It makes total sense.
You know what I got yesterday?
A birdie?
No, we're doing the top six here in just a second. I'll get to it, I promise. I got new underwear from the Pro Shop.
Did you really?
Yeah, there's underwear there called Two Under.
Get out.
It's kind of funny in a lot of ways when you think about it.
No, I was in line next to him.
I bought underwear.
Did you really?
I bought underwear at the golf shop.
I saw you bought
a hole in one.
Yeah, they do actually. No, they do. They do. It's an important part of the underwear. Yeah.
Come on. That's punch awesome. Him.
I can't reach him from here.
I'm punching
there
myself.
You go.
Thank you. Again, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. But yeah, there's an effort now to do all sorts of upscale, and this is the Tommy John thing, do all sorts of upscale underpants for men.
Yeah, it's just funny because
you guys always focused on your underpants. Now it's our turn.
You mean like boxers or briefs?
They're boxer briefs, yeah.
Oh.
It's funny because
super soft cotton.
Oh, really?
The ladies section of the Pro Shop has kind of that anyway. There's like a little lingerie area. There's even now an area for stationery, if you want to buy thank you
in
notes.
The Pro Shop?
The Pro Shop yesterday,
really? Yeah, I've never seen underwear in a Pro Shop before. I probably would have bought them even if I didn't want them. Let's do this. An intelligence contractor has been charged with sending a classified report about Russia's interference in the 2016 election to the news media, and specifically to the website The Intercept. It's the first criminal leak case under the Trump administration. This kid is 25 years old, had a high enough level of security clearance to have access to the particular document that indicated that the Russians tried to, just a short period of time before the election, crack into voting machine technology, including here in Illinois. And the when you hear the name of the individual, you'll think it's a code name or a screen name.
Right.
The person's given name is?
Reality Winner.
Reality Winner. We don't know why. We assume that she changed it from Becky Smith. But Reality
I know a
Winner,
Becky Smith.
Well, that's probably, I hope it's not the same one. But Reality Winner, 25 years old and is in a lot of trouble. And here's the deal. If there was a whistleblower setup in the government that worked, you would think this person would have gone that route, because you when you make a choice to leak, the president's not wrong about this. When you make a choice to leak to the media, there's a risk involved.
Yeah.
Now, granted, this information is important and it just reinforces the case. It would be nice to hear the president come out and say, "This is what I was talking about. We're cracking down on leaks, but I am glad we also have this information, because now we know that Russia also did this." Of course, he won't do that.
It reinforces it, but also raises more questions about what else has not been released about how far the Russians got or the hacking got. I mean, because this is the most I've heard about them actually getting into these databases. It's a little scary.
I think people are scratching their heads saying, how is a 25-year-old federal contractor, or if you look like her, she looks like every other kid who's 25 years old, millennial,
kid,
right?
Yeah.
How'd she get the gig? And number two, how was she able to go in and remove classified material from a government facility?
You forgot 20-year-olds run the world now.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right.
Yeah, Big Bang Theory this. Yeah. Now let me crumple this up. President Trump continues to tweet last night, attacked the Justice Department, his Justice Department again, and the courts, lamenting the watered-down, politically correct version of the executive order he issued in March. Again, let's be clear on this. He's bitching about something he signed. Nobody forced him to sign it. He signed it. The six predominantly Muslim countries he wants included in the travel ban that he is shouting from the hilltops to the valleys below continue to be the center of attention. The question is, what will the Supreme Court do with that information? The president will not invoke executive privilege to try to block James Comey from talking Thursday. That'll be at 10 o'clock East Coast time, 9 o'clock Chicago time. That'll be Thursday morning, and at 9 o'clock, I mean, you guys will be doing the show, but I assume you'll carry that.
Yep, absolutely. Okay. A little portion of it anyway.
Yep.
Definitely be the big story.
Next. One of the three men who carried out Saturday's deadly terrorist attack had appeared in a nationally televised BBC documentary about jihadists, raising concerns and questions about whether warnings had been missed. The problem is there are said to be 20 to 30,000 people on British terrorist watch lists.
Right.
Each one of those individuals would take three crews working 8 hours a day to be watched, and multiply that times 20,000.
Right.
So you're talking about 60,000 crews. we're at 60,000 crews.
Yeah.
Say three agents per 180,000 agents just on those people.
No kidding. And if people question it, I just remember San Bernardino. They came right through O'Hare Airport, took a picture. That was everywhere. So
there's only so much that can be done. That's why that see something, say something isn't just a cliche. Illinois AFL-CIO holding their regular meeting of its leaders today in Springfield. Before you doze off, allow me to throw this in. This is a ridiculously early time for them to announce an endorsement for governor. We're talking about 2018, the fall, right, of 2018?
Yep, fall of 2018.
So we're a year and a half out.
Yes.
And the AFL-CIO is likely to endorse J.B. Pritzker today. I'm not sure why, maybe based on his savvy real estate reimbursement skills. When he got his tax rebate thing back because he appealed his property taxes and picked up a little $240,000 kickback after he apparently pulled the toilets out of one of his properties. Chris Kennedy, State Senator Daniel Bliss of Evanston, and Northside Alderman Amaya Pawar are also in the field of candidates. Of course, the AFL-CIO and the trade unions are probably influenced in some way by anyone? Anyone?
Anyone? First name start with an M?
Yeah, Mike Madigan. Yeah. So the faster you get an endorsement here, maybe the better for Pritzker, who has stepped in it several times already, and who knows what else might be coming down the road. By the way, Pritzker, like Madigan, welcome here. And then there's this. Amazon Studios has acquired Flint Wanis's 2016 Blacklist script about Monica Lewinsky and Linda Tripp, which included Linda secretly recording phone conversations with Monica, which was the first domino to tip the information on the affair with Bill Clinton on a movie to be made about the Monica Lewinsky affair.
That was the first leak before WikiLeaks, before any leak.
It's before WikiLeaks was cool.
That's what I mean.
Cool.
The original leak.
And I don't know who's going to play Clinton. Anybody? Anybody?
Oh, Anthony Hopkins could.
He can't play all the presidents.
Why? He's good.
American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men bring you that. And now we'll come back with this big story after this on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
6:38, Kid of the Week time in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Allstate believes good starts young and works towards inspiring the next generation of leaders. By the way, nice job on the piano today, Andre. You sound terrific.
Thank you. Working on that.
The next generation of leaders to reach their full potential and make the world a better place for your service. In the spirit of Allstate's Good Starts Young Initiative, you can help us recognize a kid that goes above and beyond for their community. Nominate a Ute for the Allstate Kid of the Week. Kid you know could be featured here on the Cochran Show, win great prizes, including Amazon gift cards and Lou Malnati's pizza. Just go to WGNradio.com/contest. This tells you that you're older than you used to be. I got excited yesterday because I found a deal on medical tape for my knees on Amazon.
Nice. This is funny when you find, like, Diet Coke on sale. It's true.
I got this strapping tape I have to put on my knees, you know, just to play golf and stuff.
Which, by the way, Dave and I said looks very good.
Thank you. Yeah, quite skilled.
Very sexy.
I didn't even
quite
notice
skilled.
It, quite frankly, Steve.
Yeah. Oh, I did.
I go, wow, Amazon Prime and a deal?
And you bought underwear yesterday. So it was a big day for Steve.
Really was a big day. Go to WGNradio.com/contest. Submit an entry for a kid between 9 and 18 that you think ought to be Allstate Kid of the Week. Tune in every Tuesday and hear the Allstate Kid of the Week. And say hi to our new friend, Avery. Good morning, Avery.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fine, thank you. Are you on summer vacation now?
Yeah.
When did you get out of school? Was it last week?
Yeah, I got out on Wednesday.
So what are you going to do this summer? You have big plans?
I'm going to Michigan next week.
Fun.
And then we're going to just hang out with my babysitter.
Well, that's fun. Now, where are you going to Michigan? Do you have like a lake house there or something?
Yeah, my mom and dad's friends from high school, we go to their lake house in the summer sometimes. So
they must be nice people.
Yeah.
Now, do you swim or what do you do when you're there?
We swim, we go on a boat ride, we go on jet ski rides. They have like a boat and then they have a diving board. So we jump off into the lake on there and then we just play around.
Cool. Are you a good swimmer?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
My grandma and papa have a pool too, so I learned how to swim there.
How old were you when you learned how to swim, do you know?
Like three.
3 years old. Wow, that's good. You can probably teach me. I'm not very good. So what do you want to be when you grow up?
An Olympic gold medalist gymnast.
Oh, good. Good. Like, who's your favorite?
Gabby Douglas.
Oh, man. She's something else, right?
She's fantastic.
Yeah, she's great. But you're 10. I'm trying to think. Gabby. Well, Gabby was in this last Olympics, right?
Yeah.
She was.
Yeah. And you can see, obviously, on the video from the one before. Well, let me talk about you for a second. There's a kid in your class that was leaving school because he needed to get additional services, and school didn't have those services. Not the most popular kid in class, but you, Avery, you didn't want to leave school without feeling like everybody liked him, or at least that, you know, had some friends and stuff. So you had every kid in the class do what?
Well, me and my friend and I, we made a book, and then we had, when he was at a class with another teacher, we decided to tell the class that we made, that we wanted to make a book for him. So when he was leaving, he wouldn't feel so sad. And so I had everyone make a page where they had to write two things about him that they liked. And so I wrote that he was funny and that he was always brave and outwilling. Like, he would never, like push himself to the limits he didn't want to. He felt comfortable in the way he wanted to be. And then, so some people were like, they didn't have anything to say, but I said, there's always something to say about him. You just have to be, even if it makes you think for a while, there's always something that you can say about someone that's nice.
You can always find something nice to say about somebody if you really try, right?
Yeah.
It's a really good idea. Well, what made you think of that? Just because you didn't want the guy to feel, the kid to feel sad when he left?
Yeah, that's kind of it, too. But also, he was having a little trouble and stuff, and I think he kind of knew that he wasn't, some people didn't want him to, be in our class. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to make him feel, welcomed and stuff.
So you don't want to make him think that he was leaving because people didn't like him and make him feel okay about things. That's a really big deal. Did he look at the book before he left? You know how he felt about it, or I guess that part doesn't matter as much.
Yeah. At the end of the day, when he left, I gave him the book, and then all the teachers and the principal and stuff who helped him, they came to our classroom and we did a blessing with him.
You're something else, Avery. You're something else. You're very nice. You're a very nice person, and I hope you stay that way your whole life, because that's a really cool thing you did.
Thank you.
Really proud of you, and I'm glad you're on the show to talk about it, because I think you'll inspire other kids to think about other people the way you do.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. How about Avery?
So sweet.
Right? How about Avery? Dave, I could think of two nice things about you. I could put them in a book.
Thank you.
Same for you, Andre.
That's very sweet.
Yeah,
Mary, we can think of one or two for you, too.
Yeah, maybe we'll make you a book, Steve.
I want to go up to the lake house.
You want to go to the lake house?
Yeah.
Yeah,
sounds like fun.
Board.
Jet ski and swimming, Avery? I mean,
Avery, we're not all coming to the lake house, you know. I mean, first off, you've got my swimming lessons. That's going to take half the summer.
You can if you want to.
That's very nice. You're the
She's
best.
She's so sweet. I bet Avery would teach you how to swim.
Avery, here's what we have. We have an Amazon gift card, and what else am I giving her?
Blue Monday's Pizza.
Blue Monday's Pizza. Avery knows.
She knows.
All right, hold on. Thank you, Avery. Thank you for being the Allstate Kid of the Week. I mean, look, in a world of Trump tweets, in a world of trouble, how great is that kid?
Yeah, what a sweet voice.
The world of a lack of a state budget.
Yeah, in a world of Mike Madigan rounder nonsense.
Chicanery.
It's ridiculous. In a world of bad knees, I mean, there you go. You got Avery.
I think it sounds like a movie promo.
Right, in a world.
I think that's
didn't want to make that little kid, she didn't want the little kid to feel bad. Everybody in the class has got to write two nice things. We're going to put them in a book. You can't think of anything. You sit there until you do.
I think that's a neat idea. I think we should all write down two nice things about
each
other.
Should we send one to Trump?
You know, that may be the one exception that everybody can come up with two nice things.
Come on, Steve, you can do it.
Oh, I'm very impressed with Avery.
You like his hair.
Very impressed with Avery.
He's awesome.
Avery Van Tilburg. It's a great name, too. Avery Van Tilburg. Thank you, Avery, very much. 6:45, we go back to Mary for your traffic trouble spots. What's happening now?
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You're all iPhone people, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
iPhone. Jake, you're an iPhone. Sandberg's an iPhone.
You're not?
No, I'm an Android. Vanderbilt, are you an Android?
No.
You're an iPhone?
I have an iPhone. Yep.
I'm the only rebel.
Mm-hmm.
Apple at its developer conference on Monday, yesterday. Here's some of the new features. iOS 11 phone owners will be getting a new Venmo-style option for sending money to friends by Apple Pay. Do you guys use Apple Pay?
I do.
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. If I wanted to send you money, I could PayPal it. You know what else I could do? I could take it out of my wallet and hand it to you.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Like you did that $20 bill on Friday.
Yeah, exactly. Also get a refreshed Apple Music app with more social features.
Cool.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
A new Siri with a more natural-sounding voice. What was wrong with Siri's voice?
I don't know. Let me ask her. Siri, what's wrong with your voice? Siri, what's wrong?
I have her. Obviously, you and Siri are fighting.
Obviously, she doesn't like your voice.
They were fighting ever since Dave asked her what he was wearing. Remember that?
There's also an improved Do Not Disturb feature designed to prevent distracted driving, among other additions. I don't know what that is. So you put Do Not Disturb on your phone and your phone won't work while you're driving?
Yeah, you can put Do Not Disturb on. If you don't want to get a message from Dave or you don't want to get any contact from him, you could put Do Not Disturb on.
Because you don't have the self-discipline to ignore it?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's basically to protect you from you.
Yes.
No, or from me, or I think is him. What she said.
Apple's also announced camera improvements, including more photo effects like long exposure mode and upgrades for better low-light photography. I will argue that my Samsung S7 Edge camera is the best camera phone ever.
You think?
Yeah.
I love the iPhone photographs. I took most of my Iceland pictures
on my
camera
phone kicks butt.
Oh, I don't know.
Except for that you're not great at taking pictures.
Well, I'm not saying when I take them. Yeah, when other people take it.
When one.
By the way, Ross Cochran endorsed it, and he's an iPhone guy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
nice.
That's it. You guys know what a HomePod is?
Isn't that where you just store it at home?
Is it a crock pot?
No, not a pot.
Oh.
HomePod, P-O-D.
Oh, pod.
Apple now battling with Amazon and Google for control of your living room. The HomePod, a speaker with Siri built in that's powered by the same processor and some older iPhones. That's how they take your older iPhones and they reuse them.
It sounds like the Echo, doesn't it?
That's what they're going for. Yeah. $349.
Wow.
The Echo's $179, Google Home's $129. So why would you need it?
Well, because Echo Dot is only $49.
Yeah.
Because it's Apple and it's cool. You have
the
to have
Apple
it.
Device has much better speakers, apparently. Surround sound, full surround sound.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Like a Bose.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are nice.
So when you go, HomePod, where's my keys? It's worth $200 more.
And you can hear them jingling on one side of the room when they're actually on the other.
There was a rumor that Apple was going to dump the iPad. Apparently that's not true. Companies releasing new iPad Pro models in 10.5 and 12.9-inch sizes.
Weren't they going to get
How
rid
big
of
do we need an iPad?
12.9.
That's like a laptop.
It's like a TV.
It is. Weren't they going to get rid of the minis, though?
Yeah.
Isn't that their goal to phase out the minis?
I don't know. You're the Apple people.
Steve, I think so.
I don't know. I thought they got rid of the normal iPod, right? So that one's gone.
Yep.
And I never had a mini, so I never paid attention to that one. But.
Augmented reality, which, of course, that's Steve. Steve's not actually a real human. He's augmented.
A hologram, yep.
Monday's presentation provided the first real evidence the company's dedicated to something called ARKit, A-R-K-I-T. It's a new suite of tools for developers to help create augmented reality apps for the iPhone and iPad. There also is a complaint that Apple will take any app ever developed and throw it in the App Store. People are starting to complain there's too many apps in the App
there's
Store.
There's a lot of apps.
There's a lot of apps.
Yeah.
And I don't like when you search for a specific name for an app and it'll give you like apps they want to sell first before the actual app that you were looking for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have to search
and
research.
Right. I have to scroll further down. That's a lot of work on my part.
Have you ever tried to Google, because I have iPads, and even though I'm clearly an Android guy, but have you ever Google search for an app and then went into the App Store to ask for it? In other words, don't use the Apple search.
No, I always go right to the
App Store. I think it's faster that way, even though it's backwards.
Okay.
Mac. Apple refreshed its entire Mac hardware line, too, including a flashy new iMac Pro, with an 18-core processor. Oh, and 22 teraflops. Dave, that's a lot.
That's a lot of teraflops.
That's a lot of teraflops.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You'd think all this was would be exciting investors. Stock is the Apple stock has been flat over the last 24 hours, so not a pop at all.
Well, there's not a lot here. You know, and I think Apple has gotten to a point where what else are you going to do?
That's a good
point.
What
else are you going to invent?
You can enhance the camera feature. You can, I guess, enhance Siri, so to speak. But what else can you add
still,
to it?
It's a phone.
You know what they should
with
do?
With apps.
They need
and
to,
a camera.
They need to make a phone that never loses a charge because I have the 6 and since this morning it's on
70%. Well, that's the holy grail. If you get the battery that never dies,
they have a new case, though, that's. Siri. She's just now getting
back. Oh, you and Siri made up?
She's alive.
She finally got back to me.
Siri was on a call.
They were fighting.
I like that I can turn any Siri on just by talking like Cookie Monster, by the way.
What are you talking about?
Because remember Cookie Monster did that Siri commercial of hey, Siri.
Do it again, Steve.
Hey, Siri. Did it come on? Mine just came on.
Wait, do it one more time.
Hey, Siri.
He's going to hurt himself.
So, he does it. He works in the newsroom. It does. It makes me laugh. It's just pretty funny.
Yeah. And Siri sits right next to me, and she just freaks me out all the time.
Good to see you guys really cranking out the journalism on the seventh floor.
We just play with Siri all day.
And Dave, the Apple Watch is going to be getting an update. You still have your Apple Watch?
Yes, I do.
New watch faces, additional fitness features. One watch face will use Siri to serve up information it thinks is relevant based on the time of day. For instance, if you work out in the afternoon, it'll go to your preferred workout screens.
Oh, that's good.
Right, because that's a lot of hassle finding those.
I don't wear my watch while I work out.
You don't?
No, I'm afraid I'm going to somehow damage it.
With all the weights that you lift?
Well, I just... Or I sometimes when I'm running, I'll wear it.
But can we all agree that Apple's out of ideas?
Yeah, unless you find, like we said, the holy grail.
Because you got to go tech deep now. You got to go tech deep, right? You got to come up with stuff, or you got to rip off another idea.
Just find a battery that never loses charge.
There's again, holy grail. Yeah. That's the Tesla game. If Tesla thinks people think Tesla's closer to the ultimate battery, but there's Steve Grzanich, you may know this. There's a school of thought that Steve Jobs never invented anything. Everything was a stolen or adapted idea.
Yeah, I mean, there were other people that were certainly in charge of that. Like, you know, Wozniak, he was sort of led one of those computers, and there were other people inside the company that were doing it. But, you know, his vision sort of did lead part of the company, I mean, to some success, right? I don't know.
Well, listen, you guys can have fun with your iPhones. My Android is actually, it's a washing machine.
Oh,
and,
it is.
Yeah, and it actually is a shoe tree. As well,
I think the pop with Apple is going to come when they get really heavy into TV. When they start integrating,
they tried Apple TV. Didn't
I
they?
Have Apple. Yeah, but
I don't mean
Apple
TV. I don't mean the add-on. You're talking about an actual television.
Yeah, where you can plug in your television and just get right onto Apple TV. That would be, I think, the holy grail.
Didn't they try that like 10 years ago and it didn't work?
Yeah, but technology's changed a whole lot since then. Now with these smart TVs, you can go right in. You don't have to have the little box anymore. In a lot of cases. That's what I think people are craving, that who don't want to have cords in their house anymore, just to be able to hook up to...
I like cords. Apple TV, but there are some glitches with the remote. I mean, every now and again, you have to shut it off, turn it back on, and then everything pops up.
See, Apple's like Trump supporters. You have a small percentage of people who will never do anything else.
Hey.
And the vast majority of the world is Android.
What?
Well, I think that's fake news.
I think more people are Apple than Android.
That's true. Look that up, Steve. What's the percentage of Android users? And don't give me your BS statistics. Give me the truth.
You don't have like the Android store that we're all looking forward to opening on Michigan
Avenue. Mythical Apple store here on Michigan Avenue that's been opening for 5 years?
It'll be open as soon as the Ulta opens.
Yes. There's something going on with construction here on Michigan Avenue where it's just storefronts.
We need to call the mayor.
So, what'd you get, Steve?
All
right, get back to us.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7-Eleven. Talked to Homeland Security. I said, please slap the phone out of the president's hand. Actually, Secret Service, that could be part of their duties. Stop the president from harming himself. Take his phone away. Secret Service throws himself on the phone. I'm just trying to advocate for the president to stop shooting himself in his own foot. You know me, I'm here to help. 712, Dan Blatt knows more about money than we do. Understanding the Great Depression and the failures of modern economic policy goes all the way back to the Depression. And Dan's done a ton of research on it. He knows about it. He can talk about it. He joins us now. Good morning, sir.
Thank you for having me on the program.
I appreciate you being on. All right, so there's a lot of misnomers and myths about the Great Depression. What's one that drives you crazy?
Where do you begin? We need government programs to prevent the next Great Depression. Any agenda item that you have in mind, you can promote it by trying to scare people into the next Great Depression. But what people should understand is that there will not be another Great Depression in a globalized world, because the trade war or autarkic world of the 1920s was one of the several factors that gave us the Great Depression, and it's not there. Of course, we're going to have the business cycle. Nobody's going to obsolete the business cycle.
Mm-hmm.
That's an inherent part of our market system. But the Great Depression is not something you have to worry about, and you should not permit the catastrophists to convince you that we have to, say, bail out the big banks, because if we don't hand them $100 billion, we're going to have another Great Depression.
So does the system accidentally protect itself from that kind of failure, or has there been proper structure that's developed this way? Did we get luckier, or are we smarter than we think we are?
In the 20s and 30s, we were stupider than we thought we were. Starting in 1922 with the Fordney-McCumber tariff, the United States initiated a trade war, which built over time until it affected our economic system in the beginning of the of 1929, and that developed into the crash and the Great Depression.
But what about all the other things what about all the other things?
System.
Excuse me, sir. But what about all the other things we've heard about, like Joseph Kennedy and his like manipulating the markets and all that? Were those ancillary reasons, or are those just made up stories?
You always have people who are trying to. The markets are not perfect.
Okay.
Thank goodness they don't have to be perfect in order to function. And they do have methods of cleansing themselves in the business cycle. But I will point out that for the last 100 years, we have not had a market business cycle. The government and the government policies have been up to their elbows in every single market downturn in the last 100 years.
Dan, I have to ask you this, too, and I'm going to preface this by saying, God forbid, but do you think we will ever see a situation like the major crash again that we did before, or have we learned from that, or can we just not control it? I mean,
surprisingly, we do seem to have learned from that. There are people who are always looking for protection. Competition is very important as long as it affects everybody else. Please give me protection from my competitors, you know.
Mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
very dangerous. There's enough right now, hopefully, there is enough experience with the importance of trade and globalized markets so that we will prevent that from happening. But you will have the business cycle. Nobody is going to obsolete the business cycle.
Right, but you spoke about trade wars and the damage of trade wars, and it's logical, right? It makes sense. If we suddenly decide we're going to hit somebody with a tariff, China or whomever, they can hit us back. These things get escalated, and they're out of control.
Every now and then we try to get tough with Mexico, and the Mexicans aren't dumb. They figure out which industries are important to the congressmen who are pushing restrictions on trade with Mexico, and they slap some trade on those industries, and right away everybody's crying and beating a hasty retreat.
So are industries what they once were, gold, steel, oil, are those still big to our world economy and world trade, or are those kind of fading by the wayside because of all the new technologies that we have now?
The metal bashing industries are not as important as they used to be, but they still are important. You know, the United States manufactures as much today as it ever did. It's just that manufacturing facilities are so much more efficient, it doesn't employ that many people. The idea that our manufacturing has been hollowed out is not supported by the facts.
Do you believe that industry can come back, that we can bring jobs back, or do we need a technological conversion?
Jobs are coming back, but as I say, the industries that are coming back are those that have sufficiently improved their productivity so that they've become competitive. This is a very fluid situation, and it has to be permitted to work because, once government gets involved, government economic management is inherently inept, always inept, and it will always screw up the works given a chance.
So accept the fact that we are a global economy, work to benefit ourselves within that global economy, and don't be stupid. That seems to be your message, Dan.
Oh, that's put very well, Steve.
The book is called Understanding the Great Depression and the Failures of Modern Economic Policy. Get a couple of copies. Now, this is a hearty book. Let me do this. Yeah, you don't smack a book against the microphone and get that kind of noise every day. Understanding the Great Depression and the Failures of Modern Economic Policy, Dan Blatt, BLATT. Thank you for the information, sir. Let's do this traffic update on 720 WGN. We continue just after 7:30. A young man named Mitch Granger is going to be in studio. He's doing more than we are. Country Music's Kip Moore talking about how he's helping vets after 8:30. One of the big things that's going on in the Stanley Cup Final in Nashville is who's going to sing the anthem. Last night, was it Dierks Bentley last night? I think it was. They have country stars wandering in and out of there all the time, obviously. Now, when we were down there a couple of years ago, the artist that I was most struck with was the guy in the leisure suit that plays the some sort of big organ or something, and runs around like a nut. He sort of looks like an Elton John cover act.
Yeah.
And supposedly there's some controversy there because the guy that sings the anthem all year long.
Yes, got bumped.
Got hosed out of doing it during this.
Mm-hmm. So they're Jim Cornelison? Not that anybody could ever top Jim Cornelison.
Well, I mean, yeah, they're regular anthem singer.
Ah.
But it is Music City, right?
Yeah. It is tough, right? Because I feel for the guy because you do it all year long and now you're not sort of like... This would never happen, but it's sort of like if you go to the Vatican and Sean Spicer can't meet the Pope.
Right.
Doesn't seem fair.
So similar.
Well, but think about it, though. I mean, when the Blackhawks have gone to the Stanley Cup Final, Pat Foley's just watching in the final, right? That's how it goes. They go to the network guys. In this case, they go to the music stars who are there.
Yeah, you got to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you do. You just kind of have to do it. There's really nothing you can do about it. Speaking of, since you guys brought up Trump again, last night on Seth Meyers, look, everybody has put this audio package together in the last 24 hours, but this is a good summary. This is what makes you crazy. You can't have it both ways, and in less than 5 months, the Trump White House insists on having it both ways and then a couple ways more. As Trump continues to tweet, yesterday he put out Kellyanne Conway, and this Sebastian Gorka guy, who's like a bad Russian villain, I don't even know what this dude's deal is.
I couldn't wait for you to start talking about him.
You know, he comes out yesterday as well, defending the fact that Twitter shouldn't really matter. All right, so here's Seth Meyers taking on the Kellyanne Conway piece of the story, and you can see the hypocrisy.
When White House counselor Kellyanne Conway was asked in an interview this morning about Trump's angry tweets, she actually argued that it was the media's fault for paying attention to the tweets in the first place.
This obsession with covering everything he says on Twitter and very little of what he does president.
That's his preferred method of communication with the American people.
That's not true.
Yes, it is. Also, the reason the press covers very little of what Trump does as president is because as president, he does very little. But you know what? I'll give her this. Kellyanne Conway has always been very clear. Twitter is not Trump's way to communicate directly with the people. I mean, if she had said otherwise, I would know. Wouldn't it be great for you personally if he tweeted a little bit less?
No.
Just for you personally.
No, actually, the answer is no. I think his Twitter platform, like his social media platforms in general, Seth, they combined 45 million followers or so on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and it's his way to communicate directly with the people.
Damn it! I really have to start watching my own show.
Seth Meyers yesterday, pointing out that right there in front of him, Kellyanne Conway said Twitter's super important. And then yesterday, it's not so important. No. That's ridiculous. Just ridiculous. It's 7:26. We're trying to get Congressman Quigley to join us this morning in regards to the story of someone named Reality Winner who leaked a piece of secure and classified information that Russia hacked into the voting architecture of several states, including voting machines here in Illinois, right, or got close.
The Illinois State Board of Elections, that's going to be the big story at 7:30. Yes, and we did say the Illinois State Board of Elections.
Right, so we'd like to know also how much information the Russians have on us. Putin? I shake my fist at you. Vladimir! It's 7:27. We're back with that big story, as teased just seconds ago on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:40, the Steve Cochran Show continues. Trump tweeting up a storm this morning. You know, at some point it becomes pointless to even bring it up. But I'm sure I'll find time before 10. In the meantime, let's blow up the notion that millennials sit around and just wait for the world to be handed to them.
Yes.
Because we have a millennial in studio who makes me tired with all the things he's doing.
Boy, I know.
Mitchell Granger's here. Is it Mitch or Mitchell?
Mitchell is the author name, but Mitch, between you and I.
Oh, look at you, Mr. Fancy Pants. You're Mitchell as an author. Mitch Granger, where are you from?
Lake Forest, Illinois.
And you're 24 years old.
Just turned 24.
All right. And you just, is this your first book?
First book. Hopefully one of many. This is slated to be the first in a three-part series.
And it's called?
Jack Strider in the Lost Library of Alexandria. And it was published a little over a month ago.
By?
Mitchell Granger.
Because self-publishing, I'm telling you right now, everybody thinks they have a book in them. And self-publishing, because the publishing business is nuts, is honestly the way to go, or at least the way to consider.
You know, it's funny, you know, going through the process, I had this idea and I had it, you know, finished at one point, and I thought, you know, is now the time to reach out to all these publishers? And I didn't feel like I could wait that long. I had a story that needed to be told, and I wanted to take matters into my own hands.
Who would pitch this to me? Who would we compare this book to? Is this a... is it a Harry Potter sort of series, or what is it?
Yeah, it's a fun blend, I would say, between a Harry Potter, Hunger Games for teen readers, but then also mixed in with a nice Da Vinci Code or National Treasure. So
nice.
I would classify it as a historical fiction adventure.
Nice.
My first thought, Mitch, of course, is not going to remember this because he's so much younger, but like an Indiana Jones.
Exactly. So an Indiana Jones.
And you know Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark?
I love it, yes. Okay, I grew up watching that.
Okay. In reruns, of course.
On Netflix.
Mitch graduated from the University of Illinois at Chicago with a Bachelor of Language in Arts and Sciences and Communication and Journalism. He was an NCAA tennis player. How good were you?
You know, I'm going to stay humble here. I was probably your average Division I tennis player, just happy to be on the court and competing.
You are good, and you're being modest. And he plays with his dad, who's his inspiration, and they still play in father-son tournaments.
Oh, yep. Is that right?
We're still alive and kicking. We got a big match on Thursday, actually training for a national tournament in July.
Father-son doubles?
Father-son nationals in Cincinnati, Ohio. So it'll be our seventh time competing.
Isn't when you play doubles, doesn't somebody have to lead?
He's always been the leader.
So you still listen.
Yep.
Even when you're faking it.
You know, I have to act here and there, but he's leader on court and off for me.
Good for you.
How old were you when you first beat him?
Wow. I was 17, and I still remember, tears coming to his eyes when I walked to the court and shook his hand when I first beat him.
I remember when Ross beat me playing golf when he was 15 or 16 for the first time, and there's that moment where you go, you little creep, and then you just go, this is the coolest thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The book, again, is Jack Strider and the Lost Library of Alexandria. It's got a 5-star Amazon rating. Amazon, best place to buy it?
Best place to buy it, yep. Amazon is amazing these days. If you've got Prime, you can order today, and it'll arrive on your doorstep in 2 days' time.
When we come back, I want to talk to you about the Random Acts of Kindness student initiative that he's doing, because along with writing a book, are you doing something else job-wise, too, that I'm missing?
Yep, I'm a full-time job guy. I work for a great company up north called Club Automation. Yes. Software sales.
Honestly, stop it. Just stop it. Not the job, but you're just going too fast. We'll come back. We'll get your traffic here in just a second. But in addition to that, we want to talk to Mitch about the other stuff he's doing, the volunteer stuff, the firing kids up stuff from Mitch Granger. You think 24-year-olds are sitting around? Yours maybe. Mitch is not. Well, how do you compare to your friends? Your friends are sitting around.
You know what's funny? I'm lucky. I have a great group of friends who all push me. Actually, my best friend from Sweden is somebody that I founded this social.
You had to go
initiative
all the way to Sweden to find another millennial who'd get off the couch.
Yeah, they're a little different over there. So I had to team up with him.
But it's not a fair stereotype to say that millennials just sit around.
No, and I talk to people about this all the time, and potentially I'm just around friends similar to me, but we are all very socially conscious and socially proactive, and,
which is great.
And I like to bunk up with people just like me. So
you're inspired by people who are also energetic and doing stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good. We like Mitch.
We like Mitch a lot.
But we're gonna keep delving into it to find something we don't like when we come back at 7:45. Before we get to that, we get to Mary. What do you have? Mitchell Granger is here, and his first book is called Jack Strider and the Lost Library of Alexandria. He's 24 years old. He's not sitting around on the couch. He's actually doing stuff. And Sandberg, how do you know Mitch?
I worked at a tennis club that's no longer around, the most awesome place on earth, Lake Bluff Bath and Tennis. And
well, why'd it go away?
They sold the land and they developed it. But the Mitch's dad, I was friends with the owner, Ray Murphy, who's an awesome human. And Ed Granger, Mitch's dad, was friends with Ray. And I spent a lot of time there, whatever. So I knew Mitch as like a six-year-old. And at six, Mitch was carrying himself like, you know, a 40-year-old gentleman. He's so polite and kind and nice to be
around. Is any of this true, Mitch?
All of it's true. My father would work during the day, so he would drop me and my siblings off at the pool, and we would run around, and we were forced to interact with all the adults even when we were young. So
I probably
rubbed
had a
off
hand
on me.
In raising Mitch, if you will, because I was at the club.
Oh, so. The world's stepmother.
Or corrupting him, which is also my job as a stepmother. So anyway, so he's fabulous, and so we're friends on Facebook, of course, because everyone's friends on Facebook.
Well, you know, as you guys might remember, and Sandberg, I don't know if you remember when you were listening to the show before you started working here, but when Kevin and Ross were doing the job that you and Jake do, I used to give them a hard time all the time because I'd talk to the back of their heads, you know, and various other cliches, and some of them are cliches because they're true.
We even had a segment called Stump the Millennials.
And Stump the Millennials
for a while.
But nothing drove Kevin more mad than to say millennials are just sitting around and sponging off the system.
Right.
Mitchell, clearly you're not that guy. So are we willing to say that all the millennials are like you, or are you the exception to the rule?
You know, I think millennials are a funny group. We live in this social media, instant gratification world. But millennials are very opinionated. I'm sure you're watching the news and you're seeing.
See, that's part of the problem, because if you're opinionated and you're not doing anything, then I don't want to hear from you.
But millennials are so opinionated that they want results from their opinions to be instantaneous.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
They forget that they're, you know,
take some work,
blood, sweat, and tears to accomplish things.
That's where writing the book is impressive. Mitch said it took 3.5 years to write. So
I don't doubt
that's
it.
The opposite of instant gratification.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt it. I've got about 30 books I started. Maybe you can finish all of them for
sure.
Me.
Sure.
Jack Strider and the Lost Library of Alexandria. But let's talk about this, too. The Student Performing Acts of Kindness thing. It's called SPARK.
Correct. Yeah. Started this social initiative in 2014 at UIC. And it's probably been the best thing that ever happened in my life, to be honest with you.
There's this association, Chicago, it's CARA, but it's not the Chicago Area Runners Association,
right.
And it's similar to that as well. So I love these organizations. I think it's so great. Homelessness is a problem, and I don't think a lot of, unless you drive past.
It's a huge problem.
Unless you take Lower Wacker, unless you see people on Michigan Avenue, you know, you don't think. And also, too, I mean, our church has a food pantry, too, mm-hmm. and there are people who come in, too, and just who look like all of us. You know, it's not just the person on
you
Lower Wacker.
You are all, everybody. Everybody is two bad paychecks away
Absolutely.
From being homeless.
So I'm glad, you know, props to you for putting together an organization, another organization to help this and put faces with many of these people, too.
So specifically, what does SPARK do?
Yeah.
So Students Performing Acts of Random Kindness, I think our number one mission was to, you know, help clothe and feed the homeless. We've, helped over 6,000 in the last couple of years, but you know, to be quite frank, I think our number one mission was to go out and just interact with these people. I mean, they're humans just like us. They need human connection and love, and to go out and have conversations with them, I think probably was what brightened their day the most.
You're exactly right, and my son, frankly, taught me that piece of it. I'm an easy mark. If you are struggling, ask me. But to stop and to say, what's your name, and to shake someone's hand and to ask if you can help them in some way, as opposed to having them beg and ask you for help, to stop and acknowledge them, as you say, as another human being, it's a huge deal. It's very impressive that you get that at your age.
And that's what we were doing. I mean, Spark served two purposes, right? It was always to help serve these people who can't help themselves. But I think more importantly was to inspire the person next to you and the, you know, people just like me to sure. take up arms and to go out and make an impact when they see that there's an opportunity to be had.
And there's a human nature piece of it too, right? People don't like to see other people who are hurting or are struggling mm-hmm. or whatever. But when you walk by someone and act like they're invisible, you demean them. Whether you mean to or not, you know, when you're driving in traffic and on Lakeshore Drive and you get off at Lawrence and somebody's waiting and they have their hand out and you can't stop, that's okay. Traffic flow is traffic flow. But don't spend every opportunity that you have avoiding people who are struggling and hurting. Mm-hmm. Take time to stop. And by the way, it doesn't mean you have to give them anything. Stopping and talking matters.
Exactly. No, we had somebody, I'll never forget it. It was one of the first missions we had, and I gave him a meal, but then we sat down and talked, and
it's a big deal.
He said, you know what, I haven't had a meal in all day, but I haven't had a conversation with somebody in 3 weeks, and that was actually what was more important to me.
How about that?
Yeah, that's something that we always preach to our followers at Spark, and hopefully, you know, even after it's gone, it has made an impact enough to spread on after it's over.
We got to get Mitch in the White House.
Oh, my God. Don't put him in politics.
Vote for him. Well, no, we need him is my point.
I know. We clearly do.
You can't ruin a Mitch Granger.
No.
We've tested him.
We have indeed.
The Spark organization, how do folks help?
We have GoFundMe. Donations being taken online. We're actually in our lull season here because at UIC, the students are away, you know, on summer vacation. So we're actually going to be doing some really fun projects this year. This summer, kind of behind the scenes, giving these homeless a voice. So we're going to kind of go after this Humans of New York type of project where we're sitting down with them and kind of doing Q&A with the homeless. And
cool.
You'll be able to interact with their stories online, facebook.com/UICSpark. And then we also will be taking donations through the school as well.
Do you take monetary donations only, or is it clothing?
Actually, the vast majority of donations we get are clothes, which are
okay,
great,
right.
And then hygiene products. And
right. Can you do that through the GoFundMe page or the Facebook page?
Yeah,
or?
It's sort of just a handoff through personal connection, but we're always willing to take.
But you've got information on the Facebook page
correct.
About how to do that?
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Okay. Jack Strider in the Lost Library of Alexandria. It's his first book, but before you go, let's plug your regular job. What do you do during the day?
Yeah, so I work for a company called Club Automation. It's a fantastic company in Deerfield. Been working there for 1 year, couldn't be happier. And
what's the job?
I'm working in software sales, so I'm in and out of clubs, pitching our system, which is an operating system.
Clubs meaning health clubs?
Health okay. clubs, tennis clubs, fitness clubs, and our program does everything from a POS at the front desk all the way to back office billing. So.
I don't doubt that you're a tremendous salesperson, and I think this is great for now, but we're going to need more of you. We're going to need more of you in the world.
Anytime you'll have me, I'll be here.
Yeah. No, I mean it. You're officially an ambassador now for the entire millennial population who are hopefully getting up sometime soon and fired up. good for you, man. I'm proud of you for all the things you're doing.
Hey, thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in. And also, someone else that survived knowing Sandberg.
I know.
He was Sandberg.
I know.
Is Sandberg chasing him around the pool?
Close friends. He turned out okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to meet you, man.
Great to meet you.
Social media follow where?
Mitch Granger 1 is my Twitter handle, and Mitch_Granger_ is the Instagram.
Okay.
And you look like you have so much fun at your book signings. Holy cow.
You know what? That's actually the best part of it, to go back and interact with the kiddos.
Right. So cool.
To tell my story and you know, essentially take on the philosophy that I'm just a kid just like you. You can go out and you can do this as well is really fun for me to be.
I should have asked you this. You got a brother and a sister?
Twin sister. Older sister and two younger brother and sisters who are also twins. So
you got five in the family?
There's a big clan of us. Yeah.
You have two sets of twins in your family.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
what are the
unique.
Odds of that?
Hey, I haven't looked into the science of it yet. I'm still trying to figure it out.
Ooh, your next book.
It could be. Well, if you read it, there's some twin, you know, type of
references
in the story.
Are you the annoying brother because you're doing all this stuff and your other family has, the rest of your family has normal lives?
You know, if you ask them, they may say that behind closed doors, but in person, they would never say it.
Never.
I wouldn't let them.
A quick twin question for you.
Sure.
Do you feel like if it's your twin sister, right?
Twin sister.
If she's upset or sad or, I mean, do you have that psyche? Can that connection?
100%. I know her like the back of my hand when it comes
to
that. Yeah,
so you can be completely separate parts of town. She's having a bad day, and you know.
I remember texting her one time. Believe me on this. I text her, I have a feeling that you're upset today. I don't know why.
And she was.
She was.
Does she have the same for you?
I think so, yeah. We know each other pretty well, and we pick up on, you know, our, you know.
But what you're saying really is that you're a nicer person than your sister.
No. See, that's the funny part.
Notice how he said she's older.
she's far more kind and more gentle than I, so I still...
And how much older is she? 3 minutes, 4 minutes?
I'm actually 8 minutes older than her.
Oh, you're 8 minutes
older. Yeah, I let her know that every day.
Yeah, you're right. It's Mitch Granger. Mitchell Granger, and again, one last time for the book. I hope you get it. I just bought it while we were in a break. Jack Strider and the Lost Library of Alexandria. Back after this on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Live to Channel 9 and Dean Richards, where are you right now?
I am at my desk.
In the WGN newsroom?
With the microphone, which fell apart. This is some exciting action. The microphone stand completely fell apart right before the broadcast. Near disaster.
Well, that is problematic. I mean, to say the least.
I screwed it back together.
So you can't do a mic drop at the end of your report?
I already did my mic drop.
Yeah. Mm.
Already did it.
Now, do we have a Cracker Jack engineer on that?
Well, I handled it myself. I don't think I violated any union rules.
Well, let me check with Ben. Did he break any rules?
No.
Ben says you're okay.
Yeah, the microphone stand base was unscrewed. I think Mark Sapelsa may have done this. I think this may have been some sabotage by Mark Sapelsa.
Well, there's no question. Sapelsa's a rogue. He's out of control.
What if Sapelsa and Lourdes did it on purpose just to do a WGN investigates, Dean?
Oh, that's possible.
It's possible.
See how I react. See if...
Possible. Hey, Ben, do you care if Dean violated any rules?
Somewhat, yes.
Oh, he does. Okay. Just checking with Ben.
I guarantee the engineers here do.
Yes, that's exactly right. All right, let's run through a couple of things. Bill Murray in concert, what is this?
This is crazy. Bill Murray, of everything that he has done in his career, has never released a musical album before, but it's about to be released. The album is going to be called New Worlds, in which he sings Van Morrison.
And Brandy.
Songs made, probably. That would be fantastic. Hey, Brandy.
You're a fine girl. What a good wife you would be.
He sings songs from West Side Story, Van Morrison.
When you're a jet, you're a jet all the way.
Gershwin. Yeah,
I got nothing.
Yeah, come on, Mr. Name That Tune.
I barely had the first two.
Stephen Foster.
Oh, I love his work.
This is quite an eclectic mix of music that will be on the new album. He also reads selections from Walt Whitman, Ernest Hemingway, and Mark Twain.
I got to tell you, I've known Bill for a long time, but I'm not paying money to watch him read poetry. I'm just not going
to
do it.
I'm sorry. So. To me, nobody throws down the Walt Whitman better than the Bill Murray.
Do you know the famous Walt Whitman poem, The Zipper?
I don't.
It's easy to smile when life's worthwhile and all is bright and chipper, but the man truly worthwhile is the man that can smile when he catches himself in his zipper. Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's like a dramatic reading. Got chills.
Yeah, daddy.
Wow.
Not enough poetry on this show. So not only concert, not only musical album, but concert tour. He's going to be touring a number of cities in the United States, including Chicago, Illinois, USA.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be appearing at the Symphony Center.
Are you sure we're still in the USA?
On October the 10th. I don't know. We may have seceded.
Based on Trump's Twitter feed.
In the last half hour, I haven't checked lately, but last I heard, we were still part of the United States of America. Bill Murray will be at the Symphony Center on October the 10th. We do not have ticket information on that just yet, but it sounds like it's going to be a cuckoo show.
Fine time ahead by all. Our friend Jim Gaffigan has added a fifth show to Chicago. This is a great city. This is the best city for him.
It's yeah.
And this is now one show for every one of his kids.
Well, that's actually very true. He does have five really loud and rambunctious, shall we say, children. They're adorable. But
well, no, they're obnoxious. I mean, they're a little crazy.
I think
crazy
he would be
kids.
The first. If you follow him on his Twitter feed, he's constantly posting obnoxious things that the kids do every day.
He's got a great joke from his new album. And by the way, Sandberg, call Gaffigan. He hasn't been on in a while. We could plug the album. He obviously doesn't need any help selling tickets. But he's got a joke from his new album where he goes, "It's really hard to be concerned about the whereabouts of your child when you're holding a corn dog."
Very true.
It is true.
Truer words were never spoken.
Like a good corn dog.
Now, here's the thing with the Gaffigan show is this fifth show now that has been added to all this is going to be October the 12th. Tickets are going to go on sale for that on Friday. Here's the thing, though. Jim has put his Noble Ape Tour, as it's called, on hold for a couple of months. He just stopped the whole thing a couple of months ago. His wife had a life-threatening brain tumor.
Wow, I didn't know.
Tumor wrapped around the brain, benign, but wrapped around the brain and still life-threatening. She's doing fine. She's only 50 years old. She's doing fine. She's recovering at home. Everything turned out okay, but obviously a huge shock to the Gaffigan family. And good for Jim, if anything speaks to the character of this man. Stops his career to take care of his children. Could have easily hired somebody to do all that and continue to go on tour and, you know, do, you know, kind of
be home for your wife and your kids.
Yeah, but he decided the man has some priorities in his life besides Hot Pockets. Waiting all morning to do that.
There's a 9-story mural about to go up to honor a Chicago music legend. It's not me.
It is not you. Mm. I think you may have been second on the list when they were trying to decide who they're going to put on here.
Typical.
You being a blues legend yourself here in Chicago. But it turns out they're going to put a 9-story high mural at the corner of State and Washington downtown for Muddy Waters.
Oh, that's cool.
See, if it was 11 stories, it would have been Steve.
Yeah.
Just needed to be a little taller.
And my blues name is Dirty Bathwater.
Enjoy your breakfast, everyone.
With 9 stories on what building?
It is the exact address is 17 North State.
What is that? Is that just a condo? Is that a high-rise?
I think it's an office building.
State
there.
Madison-ish?
It's State and Washington.
Oh, State and Washington.
State and Washington. State but and Washington. I believe it's either like an office building or one of those medical buildings that's right kind of in the medical district area. But they're going to have a big dedication for this this coming Thursday at noon right before Blues Fest starts this week.
Very cool.
You're not upset. You're not going to go by and tag it, are you, or anything?
Oh, I'll tag it.
Okay.
But I'll tag it that I'm down with Muddy.
Okay.
Joe Paterno movie.
Steve Cochran wanted a wall. I'm going to tag that wall.
Dean's part of the band.
I said wall.
That's really all we got. John Stewart's coming to town. Al Franken's in the news. I mentioned the Joe Paterno movie. And we've got a story here, which might be a good time for all of us. It's Celebrity Diva Demands. These come out about once a year.
Oh, I love those.
These updated diva demands for celebrities. So we'll get to that in a second as well. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 972. Oh, 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 oh. Back to Channel 9 now, and got several more items on the list here. Joe Paterno in the HBO movie on the horrible story out of Penn State. Who's going to play Paterno?
What famous actor, what Academy Award winning actor might
Jeff Goldblum.
To your mind. Not him.
Oh.
Not Carrot Top.
Let me think. Black hair, glasses. Jeff Goldblum. No?
Give you a clue?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hoo-ah!
Oh, really? Pacino?
Yeah.
No.
That sort of makes sense.
Really?
I think he'll be awesome.
Yeah, I do too. I'd buy that. Yeah, that works.
Movie's going to be coming out next year. It's going to be directed by Oscar-winning director Barry Levinson for HBO.
John Stewart's coming to town?
He is going to be part of an event that I know you're familiar with. I've heard you talking about this event that is sort of a Paralympics for disabled, injured men and women who are in the service, who are veterans. It is the DOD, Department of Defense.
The Warrior Games.
Warrior Games.
Yeah, it's tremendous.
The games are going to be here in Chicago June 30th through July the 8th.
Yeah, we're plugging them.
Yeah.
But John Stewart is going to host. They're having huge opening ceremonies at Soldier Field on July the 1st. John Stewart will be hosting that in addition to all the formality of the opening ceremonies. In addition to John Stewart, one Mr. Blake Shelton and one Miss Kelly Clarkson will be performing at that event.
Well, that's very good. How about Blake Shelton's horrible girlfriend?
I do not know if she will be in attendance for that or not.
Gwen Stefani?
Gwen Stefani. She's a terrible person. No, you know, I've dropped ever since Trump was elected, I dropped her off the terrible person list.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm willing to... It's been 21 years since our altercation.
Willing to let it go now?
You just dropped it now
after
2 decades?
I just dropped it now. Yeah. Yeah.
Good thing you don't hold a grudge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I like the way you agree. Al Franken was going to get...
By the way, tickets go on sale for that today.
For the Warrior Games?
For the Warrior Games, tickets go on sale Ticketmaster today.
We should plug those guys again. We've taken good care of them. Are you guys plugging them on TV?
I believe we are.
Well, let's go.
Yeah.
Al Franken.
Where do you want to go? Yeah, are you plugging them? Yes. Well, come on then. Okay.
I can't believe
Steve doesn't even hear what I say.
I'm just unreasonable.
See, he hears you, things, Dean. I'm not sure.
We need to get Steve some headphones. I think you would enjoy this show. I really do.
Is this thing on?
Bill Maher was going to have Al Franken on the show, and then he started throwing the N-word around. First off, I didn't know Al Franken was black. And secondly, why did he cancel his appearance?
He just doesn't think it's appropriate for a United States senator to be appearing on the show right now. Because of Bill Maher's use of the N-word on last week's show, Maher has since apologized. He himself has said that he regrets saying the word, that it is offensive. Even Al Franken says that it's good to see him express sincere regret for his comment. He considers Maher a good friend of his, but has decided to take a pass on this week's show.
It's kind of hard to argue with that, right? I mean, I don't have an issue with that.
You know, this whole topic, it's unfortunate that he used the word. But
no, but I'm just talking about from a strategic standpoint with
Franken.
For
Franken, yeah. I think that anyone who just doesn't want to get into the beehive
right now.
You don't even want to mess around with all that.
The whole apology thing for everything I've ever said thing gets a little old.
Yeah. Every once a week I apologize for things that I have
That you may do
or will be doing.
I'd like to apologize for things I may do in the future.
Right.
It's a time saver.
I'm going to be holding this week I'm going to start holding a press conference, not just apologizing, but every
like a Kathy Griffin thing where you say Trump ruined it.
Yeah, every Thursday 10:30 in the morning, anyone's welcome to come and see me apologize for whether I did anything or not.
What do they say?
More than likely, I have done something, so it's a safe bet that it's appropriate.
It's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Yeah, that's right.
The old adage.
Yeah, that's right.
I have a list of celebrity diva demands.
Yes.
Here's a few.
These are the riders before they make an appearance.
Exactly.
These are the things that they need before they will make an appearance.
Must have things.
Is this your new contract?
No, have my listings are separate with super agent Steve Mandel.
You should write a book, Steve, about that.
I should do that. Kanye West has a sweating problem. Do you know that?
I did not.
Yeah, Kanye West is a perspirer. He will only use Versace towels, which cost $400 a piece.
No, I can understand that.
But nothing compared to this during his appearance at the BBC's Later with Jules Holland. Oh, I love Jules Holland, don't you?
It's a funny show.
In 2013, a publication called Heat World claimed that that Kanye West demanded the carpet in his dressing room be ironed before his appearance because the carpet was too bumpy.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't even iron my clothes. He wants his carpet ironed?
Beyonce, during her Mrs. Carter tour, source told the Daily Star that along with this specific bathroom request, I'll get to in a second, she insisted that all crew members wear 100% cotton that her alkaline water be chilled to 21 degrees with $900 titanium straws to be provided.
Wow. You can get straws at Bed Bath & Beyond for like 50 cents.
She also...
They don't have the titanium ones.
Oh, right.
She also tried to use my 20% off coupon on the titanium straw.
She also insisted on hand-carved ice balls, which, by the way, was a band I was
that
in.
That was an uncomfortable costume. I do remember that.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the hand-carved ice balls. But the one thing that stood out for Beyonce was she will only use red toilet paper.
Did they even... I'm not even going to go there.
Don't know.
I don't think I've ever seen color.
I've never seen it either.
I've never seen multicolored toilet
never
paper.
Seen it.
I like the idea, but pink and blue?
I've seen, pink and blue colored toilet
paper. I've never
paper
seen that in.
And white. Don't tell Sandberg, my God.
No, I've seen. The only thing I've ever seen is white.
I guess back in the day, I do kind of remember that.
Yeah.
I like the two-ply honky. That's what I use.
Oh, yeah.
Which was another band Steve was in. Ladies and gentlemen, the two-ply honkies.
The two-ply, and also the single-ply cracker is not bad either. Paris Hilton did a cameo in The Other Guys. This is such a funny movie. The Other Guys with Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell. I've seen it a million times. I'll watch it a million more.
Unexpectedly funny, that movie.
And I don't remember Paris Hilton in it. You know why? She was cut out. But even though she was cut out, she had a 3-page list of demands for her one day of shooting a cameo, which included live lobsters that were prepared when she was hungry, and a bottle of Grey Goose vodka.
Wow.
Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga has some interesting writer requests as well. Lady Gaga, among the items listed in a lengthy document include a mannequin with puffy pink privates hair.
Pardon me?
What?
Puffy pink hair in her privates area.
Male or female mannequin?
Mannequin.
Okay.
Yeah. 28 bottles of water at room temperature and 28 cold bottles of water.
With private hair.
And she will only sit on white leather couches.
Come on.
Yeah.
Why? This is crazy.
I don't know. I like her. She's Gaga.
I like Gaga, too.
Yeah.
And Cher has a separate room at all venues for her wigs and hair pieces.
Well, she's that's understandable.
Don't you think?
I get because, I mean, it's like a tractor trailer full of them.
She also said to have insisted on black cups only and aloe vera tissues, but only in cube-shaped boxes, and she's rejected rectangle boxes.
Well, the cubes are a little better. You got to go with that.
And the aloe vera tissues are, they're very soothing.
Very soft on your nose hairs.
And other hairs.
Yeah, right.
And I have one local diva, Mark Sapelsa, previously mentioned. Mark Sapelsa insists, and you know this, Dean, because you're there at Channel 9, in his dressing room at all times, Mark has six bunnies. There's six little bunnies hopping around.
Right. It's a mess.
Now we know where to go at Easter.
It's a mess. It's cute. It sounds cute. Oh, six bunnies. Yeah, you try to go into that makeup room to put a little powder on afterwards. It's disgusting.
Yeah, and you don't want to step on them. They squeak. No. All right, buddy. Thank you.
See ya.
It's 8:32. That's Dean Richards. We're back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. In the summer, a truck in a field and a girl in a red sundress with an ice cold beer to her lips, begging for another kiss. In the summer, you and me and the birds and the bees, and Lord have mercy, it's a beautiful thing. Ain't nothing about it, love. Something about a truck, something about a creek.
Kip Moore, multiple platinum winning, Grammy winning, Boy Scout award winning. I don't know. He probably doesn't have Scout awards, does he? He's got everything else.
He might.
Kip Moore joins us, and a pleasure to have you on the show. I'm a fan, and nice to talk to you, Kip.
Hey, good to be here, guys.
I know it's early. I appreciate you getting up.
You bet. Definitely no Boy Scout awards.
So who got you out? Listen, anybody that listens to this show knows our commitment to military causes. We're going to get to that in just a second. But I don't know enough about your background. Who was your inspiration? Who got you in, and what was your break?
You're talking about the music, right?
Yeah.
It's a long-winded answer, because it's too hard to say, you know.
So there was no one tipping point?
I can tell you this. Brett James discovered me as a songwriter many years ago. And for the people that don't know Brett, I mean, I believe Brett's written around 20 number one songs.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, right.
That'll pay the bills.
Yeah, I mean, he's got, like, covers on his horses. That tells you everything you need to know. I always say that. He's got blankets on all of his horses.
There you go.
But anyways, he signed me to a publishing deal many years ago, and he's been my number one fan and champion for the longest time, and I feel like I owe the most to him as far as my musical career.
Well, the reason I ask is there's so much bad news in the world, and we're just trying to find a few positive things to talk about whenever we can, and people have dreams all the time. People go to Nashville, and they could be the most talented people in the world, and maybe they're in the wrong bar one night, and the bar down the street's where the guy is from CMT who could have seen you and got you in. But the point is you don't give up. If you get up every morning and you got that hunger and you got that dream and you think about, well, I want to play today. I want to get out there. I want to play because this is what I do. This is what's in my heart. This is what's in my head. You got to play, right?
Yeah. That's another one of those. I could go on and on about this answer because I've seen a lot of talented people, you know, struggle for a long, long time. And I've seen, you know, the people that cut through, and it's but I believe if you still have that burning desire in your heart, you have to follow that and chase that. But it is definitely, I think a lot of people come to town and they think, okay, well, I'm going to step off the bus and in a couple of years I'm going to have a record deal and this and that. And it may, which is a rare thing, it may go that way for you, but I don't think that people understand quite the time that you put in to get to where you're actually on stage and playing in front of people.
How old were you when you realized you were maybe pretty good?
Well, I started playing guitar when I was 17. I didn't realize I was pretty good until, you know, I would say my early 20s, mid-20s.
Well, that's at 17. That's later than most, right?
Yeah, it is, you know. And but I was always, I felt like I had a good ear for hearing music. But I could always hear melodies, and I was writing at an early age. But I don't feel like I made a turn as far as being a solid songwriter and be able to craft a song and perform until I was probably in my mid-20s.
It's Kip Moore. Do you write the words first or the music?
It all varies. A lot of times I have an idea. I have a hook line. I have a guitar riff. It all comes from different things. Somebody will say something, and I will go write it. I'll go write it down, and that's the title of the song. And so it varies each time that I go in to write a song.
I remember talking to Glenn Frey many, many years ago, and Don Henley, too, about this with the Eagles. And they get excited about a title. Like, you know, you hear a title, and then you hear the song. Like, you hear the title, and then the music would pop into your head. I think if you have that kind of mind, it could work that way, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like for most of the Wild Ones record, it was all music first. It was a very musical-influenced record. The lyric came second, where this record, I feel like it was more title-driven. I had a lot of titles popping in my head that I felt like were interesting phrases or thoughts, and I was writing around those titles. And that's it's always a neat thing when you know you land on a really good hook line. So that's the way most of this record came about.
Kip, do you remember hearing your first song on the radio or getting your first gold or platinum record and what's going through your head at that point? Like you finally did, you've done it.
Yeah, I remember hearing Mary Was the Marrying Kind in Akron, Ohio. That was the first song of mine that I ever heard on the radio.
Were you in a car? Where were you?
I was in a van. Me and my band were traveling in a van, you know, long before we even had a record deal.
I bet that van got loud then, huh?
it did. I was just talking about it earlier with the guys in the studio here. It was tough times. There were some great times, but I'm definitely glad that I have a tour bus now. We were all just sleeping up against each other in that van for many years and crashing on fans' floors. But it was an exciting time because you never knew what could happen around the corner.
Yeah, it's interesting. One of the things I love about country music, aside from growing up with it, is the artists generally, I know there's exceptions, but the artists generally seem to like each other. And you don't get that in all facets of music. You don't hear a lot of East side, West side country rivalries.
Right.
There's not a lot of gang shoot-ups.
You know, there's not a lot of that kind of, you know, there is a lot of camaraderie in country music. But I think more, you know, the best thing is that me and I've got the same band I've had for years, and we all love each other dearly. We all hang out outside of you know, the music scene. When we get back home, we hang out together, and we've all had a blast on this journey together.
I want to talk about this initiative you're doing because I think it's terrific, partnering with Country Inn and Suites for a brand new thing called the Military First Initiative. Explain it.
Yes, yeah, it's Country Inn and Suites, Military First program, and it's honoring and taking care of all active military, the veterans and their spouses. From the time that you come to the hotel, you get the best available room at check-in. You get the preferred rate. And it's just a way, it's a way to give back and say thank you and try to take care of those people the best we can. And I think it's a pretty special thing that they're involved in. And you've got Operation Gratitude that's involved with this. And, you know, that's a program where you can come in and they have a box set up in the lobby where we can all write thank yous to our servicemen and women, and they ship it out all over.
No, that's great.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat thing because I can imagine those people, you know, they get pretty lonely and isolated.
Sure.
And anytime we can say thank you, I think we should.
What website you want to send people to? It's the Country Inn's website, or you got one for Military
yeah,
First?
You want to go to countryinns.com/military.
countryinns.com/military, and there's a link right there where you can get involved with Military First, get yourself a good hotel deal, but more importantly, take care of those who take care of us. Hey, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I've been a fan for a long time, and nothing but continued success.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Y'all take care.
There you go. Kip Moore.
Thanks, Kip. Wife, I don't you around. Love it? Y'all take care.
Y'all take care now. Jake, you got a little Kip Moore for me? You got something you want to play? Jake the DJ, rolling the tunes. What do you got?
Take one last look at my baby's eyes from a worn-out picture taken last July.
You know, this is Battle Cry. Kind of goes with the topic.
Oh, yeah. If I should fall, oh, lay me down tonight in my baby's arms one more time.
Kip Moore, can't mess with him. Steve Cochran Show, and Mary's here with your traffic trouble spot.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
Back live in the Showcase Studio, the Allstate Showcase Studio, as we continue, 910 now, live on CLTV, and also on 720 WGN. All right, so you want to explain what's going to happen here with the quartets?
Oh, this is super cool. There's a quartet festival within the series. We were talking a little bit before about the Rush Hour series.
It's a festival!
Yeah, you know how you can hear all kinds of music. The city of Chicago is fantastic for music festivals and whatnot, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. also music throughout the city as well, at Union Station, and not just at Millennium Park, through everywhere. And this is the Tuesday evening
like
Rush
my
Hours.
Humming festival, where people just get together and hum?
You know, we should showcase you. We should showcase that someday.
I've never been able to get it off the ground.
And now I know. I can't imagine why. But every Tuesday night in River North, there's about 30-minute shows from the city's top classical music ensembles, including Contras Quartet, which is based right here in Chicago.
And Anthony's here now. Yeah. Anthony, how do I pronounce your last name?
DeVois.
And where are you from?
I live in Oak Park. I grew up on the East Coast, but I've been Chicago-based for more than 10 years now. I'm the artistic director of Rush Hour Concerts.
So you're the quartet boss.
I'm sorry?
You're the boss of the quartets.
I have my own string quartet. The group that's with us this morning is the Contras Quartet, which is not my group.
They're a rival quartet.
Uh-oh.
We're all good friends.
Yes.
They are a Chicago-based group. They are going to be kicking off the Rush Hour concert series tonight. Which runs every Tuesday evening all through the summer, June, July, August.
Where's your quartet?
I'm sorry?
Where's your quartet?
I'm part of the Avalon String Quartet, which is based at NIU in DeKalb.
Okay.
So we teach out there. We perform a concert series at the Art Institute and on campus, and we tour nationally. But
you got to be excited about this festival.
I'm very excited about it. So this is my third year as the artistic director of Rush Hour Concerts. This is the 18th summer of Rush Hour Concerts, so I'm kind of... I stepped into a very cushy situation already. This is
give yourself credit.
founded by Deborah Sobel back in the year 2000.
Okay.
And it is it takes place at St. James Cathedral at Huron and Wabash. And we present the what we think is the finest chamber music that Chicago has to offer. A lot of great ensembles, a lot of musicians from the CSO, the Lyric Opera. So we give a really varied and interesting lineup of different styles and instrumentations of chamber music.
And for the festival itself, where do people get all the information they need?
imfchicago.org. That's the website for the International Music Foundation of Chicago. Rush Hour Concerts is one of six programs of the IMF. The IMF also runs the Damira Hess Concerts, a very popular series down at the Cultural Center, and various educational offerings. And the IMF plays a major role in what you were describing about Chicago being such a mecca for free music and just having so many incredible opportunities for people to come be a part of it.
And I don't want to bog you down with a lot of technical information, but as you know, I know my stuff. It looks like we got three fiddles and a cello going on here.
We've got two violins, we've got a viola and a cello.
All right.
So we've got
you had the cello right.
We've got two fiddles. We've got a slightly bigger fiddle and a really big fiddle.
Ah, that's excellent. Yeah. That you were taking it down to
it's
my
funny,
level.
Funny because you're like the big fiddle of,
yes,
of the group
me.
Here. So.
By the way, I am such a sucker for cello music. I love cello music. I think it's an incredibly beautiful instrument, and I look forward to hearing you play if these three don't screw it up for you. you want to introduce the band, by the way, Anthony?
Sure. This is the Contras String Quartet. Dmitry Pogorelov is the first violinist. François Henkens, second violin. Ben Weber is the violist. And Gene Hatmaker is the cellist. And they are just coming off a whirlwind weekend of performances in this area and then late night flight to Philadelphia involving a many-hour flight delay and then another late night flight to get back and an early morning this morning. And they're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready to
go. I have a serious question. Cool. Because your instruments are so important, it's easier for you guys, but do you keep your instruments with you?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, you couldn't trust them. Like, you check your cello?
No. Cello always goes on board.
Do you have to buy a seat for the cello?
Yes.
Oh, you do? Okay. Wow.
Does your cello get snacks?
Okay.
She takes the cello snacks. Smart girl.
Cello gets snacks, but they do not get frequent flyer miles. This has actually been sort of debated with airlines.
You're kidding.
That's ridiculous.
So, yeah, you have to buy the seat.
It is ridiculous. You bought the ticket.
To buy the seat, you do not get the frequent flyer
full price.
Full price.
That is ridiculous.
You have to buckle it in?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is fascinating. This is super cool. Oh, you have to buy the extender, too?
No. That comes included.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Unless you get a slimmer cello.
I think
cello.
This is cool.
First of a couple of things you're going to play for us is what, Anthony?
I'm going to let the quartet tell us their first selection.
We're going to be playing Haydn's How Do You Do Quartet, which we think was kind of appropriate to start the season with. How Do You Do? This is the third section called Scherzo.
Whenever you're ready. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
You get the highest honor from the show, a sitting ovation. It appears to be flawless to me, but I know at your level you could hear things maybe you like or you don't like. You feel good about that? I mean, I thought it was tremendous.
For 9 in the morning,
you know, just off of a flight, that was fine.
And a flight delay. A flight delay. Can I force you to do another one? Would you mind? Sure. Jump right in? All right, give me what's this going to be? Like I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
what's it going to be?
We're going to do some more Haydn. Let's do some more Haydn, the fourth section.
All right, now one question before you start. You appear to sort of casually be looking at the music. Does the music matter? You know the piece, obviously.
Yeah, it matters. It matters because we play a lot of music. That's why we keep it on our stands. We've, you know, this last three concerts we played all different music on all three of them in the last 3 days.
But if there's a long section, do you get lost in it at some point where maybe you go?
No, I think we rehearse enough not to get lost.
Okay. All right. Once again,
hopefully,
the original idea is that this is a more democratic way of making music. So when you sit down and you just whip something out from under the chair and go, hey, guys, let's just play that.
Sure.
That's kind of the original idea, as opposed to being a fancy soloist who plays everything by memory and stands up in front of a large crowd. We're kind of doing a more of a friend situation.
That's a group of
one another.
But there's a lot of visual. You can see it on CLTV. There's a lot of visual connection between... again, I'm an idiot. I don't know what I'm talking about. But the pause, there's a pause that you take, and I noticed, you know, that's all important to be able to see each other?
Yeah, well, and it's kind of the way we communicate, because we can't talk while we're playing.
Right.
The best way to communicate for us is actually to give each other visual cues. You'll hear us breathing a lot to give each other indications of when we want to start, when we want to stop,
sure,
how fast we want to go. So there's a lot of sign language going on.
Yeah, it's cool to watch. Very impressive.
It's a part of a live concert experience, too. As opposed to just listening to a disc. You come and you enjoy the visual and the interaction with
you're
the audience.
You're seeing a show.
Exactly.
All right, whenever you're ready, once again, thank you for being here. We've got 25 fourth graders in the green room, and I guarantee some of them play music. Did you all start as small children, little tiny children?
Yeah,
little,
I think the average age was 4 in this group. I think cellist Jean started when she was 3, and then...
And we started later. We were late bloomers.
Yeah, we started when we were
late bloomers at 5, yeah.
You slacker, you 5-year-old slacker.
Yeah.
3 years old, how do you play the cello at 3? Is there a tiny little 3-year-old cello?
There is a tiny little cello for 3-year-olds. That's right. They come in fractional sizes.
Wow.
So the smallest cello that you can get is a 1/16 size cello, which means it's 1/16 the size
of the normal full size Jell-O.
That's yeah. right.
Well, it's very cool. And for parents who are listening, I always equate music with Little League and everything else. If your child loves it and they wake up in the morning talking about it and thinking about it, they're on the right path. But how careful do you have to be about pushing a child into music?
That's a really good question, because you always reach an age where it's more fun to be outside playing with your friends than it is inside practicing a craft.
Right.
And so, you know, you start when you're little, you try to keep the enthusiasm going, and that's a big part of what the parents can do is to keep reminding them that it's fun,
sure.
but it's also delayed reinforcement, you know, delayed gratification. So, you know, you remind them little bits at a time, just get that little bit of work done, it'll be worth it, and then you can go outside and play. And that was, I was grateful to have parents who did that yeah. for me, and then by the time I was old enough to appreciate it, I sure. was glad to have pushed through those hard years.
Did you guys always love it? Ever have a moment where you go, ah, this isn't for me?
Absolutely loved it always.
Uh-oh. I don't know. It sounds convincing, but I don't know.
No, of course, when, you know, as all teenagers, they are, or before we were teenagers, they, you know, there are times when you just want to go play either sure. soccer or, in my case, rugby or tennis or something. But,
right.
you know, and I was lucky that I had parents that allowed me to do all of those things. So, you know, it all depends on the parenting style.
Now, Anthony, this quartet is fabulous.
Yes, they are.
How does it compare to yours?
Uh-oh.
The sports analogies in
yes. yes. Yes, it's tough to compare eras. It's
you know? But how amazing is this, dude? This is a free concert series. You can listen to this music during the rush hour all throughout the city. This is yeah. a wonderful
quartet
opportunity.
Quartet Festival.
Yeah.
You guys have one more, I think. Jay, give me some guidance here. I know we got kids waiting. Should we do one more now, or should we take the break and come back? Let's do one more right here. And let's. But before we do, plug again. All the information you're going to need about Quartet Festival is where?
St. James Cathedral, Huron and Wabash. Tonight is the start of rush hour concerts. This goes on every Tuesday evening. The concerts start at 5:45 p.m. They are free. You do not need a ticket. Just show up. There's room for you, or we'll make room for you. At 5:15, we hold a pre-concert conversation with some of the performers of the day, so you can get to know a little bit more about the music and about the people making the music. That's totally optional. The concert itself starts at 5:45, and the concerts last about half an hour, so it's intended to be just a, you know, just a small taste. We say that we're keeping great music. We're providing great music for busy lives, so it doesn't have to take up your whole evening. Just stop by on your way home from work, take in an outstanding concert, and you can still be out in time for a great dinner either at home or in a beautiful neighborhood in River North.
And your quartet's name again is?
My quartet is the Avalon String Quartet. This morning we're hearing the Contras String Quartet.
And you'll both be performing?
My quartet, the Avalon Quartet, will be performing later this month. We also have Spectral Quartet in July. We also have Civitas Ensemble in August, and the Euclid String Quartet in August, and also a variety of non-string quartet concerts. We have
it's
some
a quartet
craft performers,
summer.
Some yeah. singers. We have some new music. We have some very early music. We have the whole gamut of the chamber music experience.
Very cool. All right, one more time, once again with Contras. You guys are amazing. Thank you very much. All right, whenever you're ready, one more time on the Steve Cochran Show on CLTV. I hope you're enjoying this. Thank you. Thank you. good is that?
Woo!
My cello's got the blues.
Yeah.
I don't get no frequent flyer miles from my cello. 928, back with more in a moment on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show. Sometimes you want to go
where everybody knows your name. Jake getting it done as always. Somehow, though, I don't know. The references he's able to pull, he's 31. Cheers was canceled when he was born, wasn't he?
I think so. He knows. Man of many talents.
And a special guest in studio, Justin Kaufman's here at 9:45 in the morning.
I know, right?
Did you lose your clock?
I just kept returning emails, and I looked up, and you were on
suddenly
the air.
Suddenly, I'm on the
air. So, no.
We brought you in for a couple reasons. One, because we're going to meet your son and all the classmates.
They're marching in now.
Is this a take your son and his class to work day, or what is this?
It's the end of the year, and it's field trip time, and they were looking for field trips. And I said, you know what? You should come watch WGN Radio, right?
Right. So come
What's
by.
Up, guys?
Hi, guys. Say hi.
Hey, guys.
Very polite.
Very polite.
So we'll talk to them in a little bit, and then you're going to take them upstairs and have them steal equipment? Or
yeah,
what?
The idea is that, you know, there's no internship program here, so there's a lot of tapes that need to be dubbed.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of things that need to be done. It's mostly sweeping, cleaning.
Crack
like
that
we're
whip.
We're going to do that, yeah.
And, of course, what would be better in front of the kids than drinking? We have a combo platter here because... and Justin, I've asked you to do the designated drinking for me because I'm on the air.
Oh, good. That's what I need at 9 o'clock.
Very, very well-dressed and a tremendous representative of Aruns is here. What is your name, sir?
I'm Brian Garvins.
Nice to see you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What is your title?
My title is bar/beverage director at Aruns Thai Restaurant up in Kedzie in Chicago, Illinois.
One of the best in the city, if not in the country.
I absolutely believe that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Yes, and what sort of specials are you bringing to us?
Well, something that we always go for in Aruns is flair through the presentation and having the freshest and best quality ingredients available. And something that my girlfriend and my professional expertise has gotten me into is the healthy aspect of life, let alone...
Well, you look very healthy.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Actually,
that.
Stand up so we can get you your look on TV because you're the only one in the studio in suspenders and a bow tie. Well, how would you describe this look?
I go for the Dread Pirate Roberts from Princess Bride mixed with a 1920s bartender. So,
were you a theater major?
I was undoubtedly a theater major.
Yeah, there you go. College, that's exactly right.
Absolutely.
All right. So, where do you come by your skill with cocktails?
I started working back 7 years ago at a Biagi's Corporate, which for a chain restaurant was one of the best craft cocktail programs you can probably find.
That's a good restaurant. Sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, great experience there. Moved over to a farm to fork place. Who actually sells a lot of produce up here in Chicago, Epiphany Farms Restaurant,
sure.
There in Bloomington. Worked there as their mixologist for a few years, and then just had to get out of Dodge, came up to Chicago, and tried to find something that was up my alley. So,
Dave, how are you not a mixologist?
I mean, I'm a broadcaster, Steve.
I
can't do both.
With your expertise on booze, not just drinking.
No, why do you say
he's a sports director? Maybe next he could be a bar director.
Yeah. Yeah, do you have a bar in your house? I've been in your house. I didn't see a bar.
There's no bar.
So you like to go out when you drink?
Or the booze just doesn't last
long
enough.
There's a wine fridge.
Yes.
Yeah, Brian knows.
Is your girlfriend in the industry as well?
She is in the industry as well. She also works at Biagi's down in Bloomington at their flagship right now, finishing up school, Spanish major. And she's coming up to visit this weekend, so it'll be a fun weekend.
All right. And if she's had too many cocktails, what does it sound like in Spanish? Never mind. It's a silly question. All right, so Justin, you're going to be designated drinker here.
All right.
What are you going to make for us?
Today we have three cocktails. One is the mainstay staple, the El Mediador, which is essentially a Thai margarita. And the other two are brand new to the menu, too. I'm very fond of. One is the Spa Thyme, Thyme, martini on the rocks. Mm-hmm. Has some house-infused raspberry thyme, basil, Japanese sencha, mint, chamomile, white grapefruit, vanilla, tea, ice cube.
Ice cube in the house.
With some Hendrick's gin, lime juice, and a little bit of that same tea with a little bit of sugar to sweeten it up. Saint Germain, a little lime zest, some fresh thyme and raspberries on top.
Wow. It's like Dave's dream drink.
You know, it's just a pretty good sipper, and it changes as you go because the tea is unsweetened in the ice cube. So
you had a question, Justin?
Yeah, when you're making cocktails and you're mixologist in a Thai restaurant, especially one that uses the fresh ingredients like Aruns, Do you stay strong to the flavor palette of what you would expect from a cocktail from Thailand?
I'm completely unfamiliar with what you would find in Thai culture. All I knew when I saw this chat
posting, probably freeing because you're not bound by something you don't understand.
It is. And something we always do there is what Chef Arun says is the East meets West, mixing the perfect Thai execution and presentation and flavor profile.
We call that fusion, Justin.
Fusion. But also mixing it with your Western practices, you know. So for the third cocktail, the Yala Marie, which is one of two cocktails on the menu right now, and two of 20 soon to be, representing all 20 cities of Thailand. The Yala Marie is a Southern Thai spicy Bloody Mary martini. Mm. I took a little bit of the West Mirepoix, the carrot, celery, onion from the French, infused it into some Bombay Sapphire with lemongrass, coriander, peppercorn, Thai chili.
It's the United Nations in a glass.
It's United Nations in a glass, you know. And then we have a medical grade freezer, so I take the carrot, celery, onion, put that in the freezer, which crystallizes.
And the stalk in the glass is what?
And then I brought a little something extra special, though. I think I'm going to have to keep it today. We also have, for a bed for your Bloody Mary, we have some lacinato kale, fresh chive, dill, cilantro, and I believe a maitake mushroom, celery salt rim, and an ancho chili rim.
A kale bed. Who's your buddy? Who's your pal? Oh.
You are.
That's right. All right, so while you make these, we'll take a break, we'll come back, we'll say hi to the kids, and we'll do something that I don't really recommend other broadcasters try.
What's that?
Drinking around the children.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be very, very skilled to pull this off.
In the name of science.
Two segments, two plugs, that easy.
There you go. There's the
Stand
science.
By. Take notes, Justin.
See, it's educational. There's the science
time. That's exactly right. We'll come back with our friend from Arun's and also Justin Kaufman and 25 fourth graders who I believe just stole my wallet. Back in just a second on 720 WGN. Brian Garvin's is here, and Brian is, did you say bar director? Is that the title?
Bar director.
Bar director at Arun's, and he has done things like the Yala Marie, these Spa Time Martini, the Tom Young Sangria, the Summer of 75, the El Mediador. These are just some of your creations?
Absolutely.
And you're working now on the three you described. We'll be sampling those in just a second. You got a breaking news story?
I do. Yeah, I just wanted to let people aware we're starting to get some notification that police in Paris are responding to reports of gunshots and panic near the Notre Dame Cathedral. There was a man reportedly who attacked a police officer with a hammer. So they've closed down that area. They've closed down Notre Dame Cathedral. Very, very packed area. But some breaking news this morning that we will keep you updated on throughout the day.
CNN now reporting police have taken the attacker down.
Yes, they have. And it doesn't. We don't think there was anybody injured, but again, aside from the police officer.
You've been there, and I've been there. It's a very busy area.
Busy area, lots
of
tourists.
Huge walk-up area, so lots of places for people to hide.
Yeah, exactly. But they are on it, and the police have who they believe is responsible for this, Steve.
All right, thank you for that. Justin Kaufman's here, and while the drinks are being made, would you describe these fourth graders?
Yes, the fourth grade class from Skinner Elementary, West, is here.
Including your famous son?
Yeah, my famous son, Miles. Yep. So they're here. They're on a field trip today. We're going to take them around the famed Tribune Tower, take them upstairs and get a good view of the building and get them back to school so they can do math.
Can we get your son over here so we can interview him?
Yeah. Miles, come here.
Miles, come over to the microphone.
All right.
Have him tell you.
So, Miles, tell me about yourself. How old are you?
I'm 9 years old.
9 years old. You do your own hair?
My mom does it for me.
It's pretty cool. What do you think of mine?
I think yours is good.
Thank you, Miles. Nice job on sucking up to the host. Now, your dad's on late at night, kind of, but you're still up. Do you ever get a chance to listen to him on the radio?
Sometimes. Not a lot, but sometimes.
And what do you think of his show? Like, if you did a Yelp review right now, what would you say?
I would just say, wow. You did a really good job.
How about that?
Yeah.
So
how about
sweet.
That? That's very nice.
He doesn't listen.
I do. Sometimes I do.
Now, I understand you wrote some jokes for him the other day, but then when he told the jokes, they didn't go so well. Is it because he didn't deliver them?
didn't deliver them. You missed a part.
See?
See?
Remember, because when you were telling them to me, Miles, at the table, yeah. they were very funny.
Writers never get the credit due because performers screw up the writing.
I emceed the Bike the Drive, and they were, you know, it's a tough gig, and I did a couple jokes that Miles helped me write, and they didn't go over so well. And when we were leaving, Miles said, I can't believe you bombed up there. And I was like, a critic in the family.
Well, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
It's a tough crowd.
All right. Now, Miles, stay away from your father's booze.
Yeah.
As you guys are going to try this, and I'm going to ask before we move on here, Brian, to tell us again, what are the three drinks that they are drinking? You know, the short versions, obviously.
The first is the El Mediador, the Thai margarita.
That's what Justin has?
That's...
This is Justin here?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, this is the Thai margarita?
It is the one with the kiwi and the pineapple in it.
Okay, great.
All right, what does Dave have next to you?
Dave next to me has the Spa Time, T-H-Y-M-E, Martini on the Rocks.
All right, and what does Andrea have?
Want me to try this one?
And then
Andrea's got like three drinks.
That's
I think we all have.
And then the last one is the Yala Marie, the spicy Southern Thai Bloody Mary with a 100% edible garnish, fresh pickles, and six-year-aged pomegranate balsamic garlic.
Because I'm... this kind of a team player, I'm going to give Dave my kale.
Well, go ahead and sip it.
So,
right,
go ahead, all of you starting sip. With?
I've got the...
yeah, go ahead.
We all doing
try something.
Ooh, I'm doing the bloody. That's spicy.
And any of you guys have any questions? Anybody have any questions
you want to
ask? Anybody at all?
I do.
Oh, where are you? Yes. What's your name?
Do you have...
Well, what's your name?
Micaiah.
Nice to meet you. Oh, I'm sorry, Micaiah.
Rukiah.
Rukiah, I'm Risteve. All right, what is your question?
I don't think so. I think you're the first and only fourth grade class.
Yeah, you're the guys. You guys are the ones that are the most important. Yeah, do you guys want to know how much Justin makes?
They all smile. They're all very curious. That's good. They're fourth graders. They want to know about the world.
What do you guys want to be when you grow up?
Yeah, what do y'all want to be? On count of three. What do you want to be when you grow up? One, two, three. I think that really cut through. I feel like we know them better now.
I heard house speaker, Steve.
Yes.
I heard house speaker.
Yes, what do you want to be? Nice, you're already there. And Brian, thank you. If for people that want more information on Aruns at any time, you want to send them to the website or call, or what do they do?
Well, gee, you can visit arunsthai.com. You can look us up on the Instagram, Aruns Thai Restaurant. You can follow me on Instagram, BG_soulinfusions, for all of your pictures of what's coming, what is,
And what shall be.
And what shall be.
Yes, what was, what is, and what shall be.
And Facebook, too, for that matter. We're everywhere. We're everywhere. Just look
and if you can get into Aruns, by the way, if you go to Aruns, Dave, and you drop my name at the door,
yeah,
you can get a table on a Saturday night at 7 o'clock.
No problem.
In 2029.
Nice.
These are great. Thank you.
Yeah, delicious.
All right. Anybody, any comments on the drinks?
I just want to
know.
They're
great.
These are so awesome. Real quick, I love the fact that there's like fusion now with floral. Like hibiscus and lemongrass. Is that a big trend now too?
Absolutely. Herbs have always been big. I mean, that's what gin is. It's just herb-infused vodka, you know, for the most part. And why not just take it one step further and start infusing it in your actual cocktails?
Absolutely. And Dave, you've been sucking on the kale there for a while.
Have a little breakfast. Very good. Very tasty.
The garnish.
Very tasty. We got the raspberries.
And Justin, you approve. Nice to see you guys, and thank you.